your company is not making money in the long run, you're not going to be able to help anyone. If the company is making money in the first instance, then imagine the amount of people that you can help.
So paraphrasing that a different way, it's saying you can be passionate, but you need to be commercial.
Is Daniela being commercial enough yet, Geeta, to make that money?
I think her thinking since I first met her has totally transformed. I very much see, a commercial entrepreneur who's looking at the bottom line and getting very upset when she loses £4,800.
Daniela Genis and Geeta Patel. And now the serial, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte. Gilbert Malcolm's friendship with the mysterious Helen Graham has deepened, and he's eager to defend her reputation in the neighbourhood.
Mrs. Graham, the mysterious tenant of Wildfell Hall, and I were now established friends. We called each other by first names and often spoke. I made our meeting seem as accidental as I could, yet this brotherly nonchalance was hard to sustain. I could not help but notice even she was at times unhappy with it. I could not fail to hope and wish for something more.
Where are you going, Gilbert?
To look at the farm, Rose.
Do you polish your boots to look at the farm? You're going up to Wildfell again. I wish you wouldn't. I wish you'd be more careful.
What does that mean?
Eliza Millwood is very unhappy about you. She says your visits to the hall are another proof of Mrs. Graham's depravity.
That's vile gossip.
There must be some foundation to it.
Its foundation is the wickedness of Eliza Millwood and the fact that Mr. Lawrence insists on hanging about up there. Helen is my friend, Rose. I know her.
But you don't, Gilbert. This time last year, you hadn't met her. Who was her husband? Did she even have one? You don't know anything about her.
I'm only passing.
Reverend, come inside.
Please, Gilbert, don't go.
I will just take one glass, Mrs. Markham, of your excellent ale.
Rose, pour Reverend Millwood a glass.
I've been to call on Mrs. Graham.
Have you indeed?
I thought it incumbent on me to do so.
Why?
Mrs. Graham, I said. These are terrible reports. She looked as if she had no idea what I meant. It is my duty as your pastor, I said, to tell you I consider your behaviour reprehensible.
And how did she take it?
Hardened, I fear. She turned white and drew her breath through her teeth in a most savage way. Oh. She as good as told me. My advice was thrown away upon her.
No.
Indeed. I am determined that Eliza shall not consort with her. I advise you to do the same. And as for you, young man...
As for me, sir...
Gilbert!
I should do as I choose. Oh. I had to see you. I heard what happened, Helen. There's something I have to say. You need more wood on that fire.
You ran all this way to tell me that?
No. But, well, you look cold.
This suits me well enough. It's getting late, Gilbert.
Well, you don't want me here.
If my kind neighbours get to hear about your visit, and I'm sure they will, they won't turn it to my advantage.
Well, let them say what they like. You and I know the truth. Only fools will believe those things.
I don't think Reverend Millwood a fool, and he believes it all. It's hard to be called... to be accused of things you were poor. It's very hard.
Then let me clear your name.
You'd do that. Link yourself to a woman despised and suspected by everyone else.
Helen, if that is the only thing that keeps us apart, you must... you will be mine.
It isn't. It isn't. If you knew everything, you'd be just like the others. You'd despise me. I know it.
I'd never despise you.
And yet I've wronged you.
Well, no!
I tried to think your affection was no more than brotherly.
Is yours?
I shouldn't have encouraged you.
You couldn't have encouraged me less. And if you think that in giving me friendship you've wronged me, you're mistaken. I'd rather have your friendship than the love of any woman in the world. Do you love me? What's your secret, Helen? Tell me, it can't harm you.
Meet me at midday tomorrow, out on the moor. I will tell you everything.
To tell you all the questions, the fears, the hopes, the wild emotion that chased through my mind as I walked away would fill a book in itself. But before I was halfway home, I wondered why I was leaving, when everything I loved and needed was behind me. I turned back. A full moon shone calmly over the hall. I went closer. The fire sent a dim light from her parlour window. Closer still. The door opened. Here she came. I hid in the shadows for one more view.
You shouldn't let it worry you.
My heart split with hatred. She was not alone. She was with my friend, my rival. She was with Mr. Lawrence.
In future, Helen, I'll be more careful.
I must leave this place. I can never be happy here.
But where can you find somewhere better? So out of the way. If you go, I must come too.
Why couldn't they just leave me alone?
Wherever we are, it will be the same. People will talk. Wherever we go.
I heard no more. I saw him put his arm around her waist. I saw her rest her head on his shoulder. I sobbed in anger and despair while the moon shone calmly and carelessly, as little affected by my pain as I was by its beauty.
You been? You're white as a sheet. What happened? Well, let me fetch you something. Gilbert! Oh.
Never did I endure so long and so miserable a night. And yet it was not without sleep. Towards morning, my distracted thoughts shaped themselves into dreams. But waking to remember I was deceived was worse than if I had not slept at all. The morning came, and another day, and it was all the same to me. Nothing lifted or obscured my pain. Days turned into weeks. Not even summer's warmth brought comfort. She'd betrayed me, and there was nothing else.
Anymore.
Show us how fast you can run, Arthur.
Whee! Miss Markham, watch how fast
I don't need to ask why you've changed. But while I can bear everyone else's hatred, yours I can't endure. Why didn't you meet me on the moor? Because I'd found out all that you were going to tell me. And probably a trifle more besides. Can't think there was anything left.
I would have told you everything. But you're not worthy of it. I don't care what you think of me.
She turned, and so did I.
Arthur!
Yes, Mama?
Looking up a minute later, I saw her turn back, as if she were hoping or expecting that I would still be there. She looked not angry, but full of despair. I pretended to see nothing. She rushed away. I knew her now for what she was. I never wanted to see her or him again.
Wait! Leave me alone, Lawrence.
I need to talk to you.
Yeah, just get away from me, please.
Why do you take it out on me because she turned you away? I warned you. I tried, but you wouldn't listen.
I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I didn't even do that. For swift and sudden as a flash of lightning, I had brought my whip down on his head. I watched a moment. but his face paled before he reeled in his saddle and fell to the ground.
Lawrence!
The handkerchief he held to his head was more red than white. Must have been a powerful blow.
Give me your hand.
Don't touch me!
I ought to have insisted on helping.
Get away!
But I did as he asked.
Come on!
Bad news flies fast.
Gilbert, there's been a terrible accident. It's Mr. Lawrence.
His horse threw him. The village is alive with it.
It was lying in the rain. No one found him for hours.
Gilbert, now where are you going?
How can you be so unconcerned?
It was clear then that Lawrence had not mentioned me. He would do anything to protect his love, his Mrs. Graham. I would see her one last time. I would know how much in her there was to pity and how much there was in her to hate.
To what am I indebted for this favour, Mr. Markham?
How well do you know Mr. Lawrence?
Well enough. Why?
If you heard what's happened, you should rush straight over.
If you've come here to laugh at gossip, you can leave right now.
I wish I could. I wish I could laugh. And as for gossip, I wish it were that too. I've seen Helen. I have proof.
What have you seen? What are you talking about?
I saw you with Mr. Lawrence. The night I came to you and begged to clear your name, I heard the lot. I stood by you. I didn't believe anything the others said. I will never love anyone else. I could live another 100 years... and I'll never care for what you've done to me.
He's my brother.
What?
He is hiding me and Arthur.
You... were your brother? But... how... why didn't you see?
I tried. On the moor... I was going to tell you everything.
I don't understand. Why must you hide? Why could you not say? Why can you not love me?
I don't promise that I can clear myself altogether, but I am better than you think. Here.
What's this?
Take it. Read it.
The journal?
Not here. Take it home. And Gilbert?
Yes, Helen.
Don't tell anyone.
Wild with hope, I hurried home and rushed to my room. I read her journal fast, snatching a sentence here and there.
We have just returned to Stanningley. What have I done? And what will be the end? The dreaded time has come. He is gone, as I knew he would.
Gilbert!
I'm busy, Mother.
What about something to eat?
I'm not hungry.
And then I read it from start to finish, missing not a word.
And you can hear what Helen's journal reveals in tomorrow's episode of The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. On the question of the sports personality of the year, Karen Anderson says, last night, England women's rugby team beat New Zealand, the World Cup holders, by the biggest margin ever. They've won the Six Nations for the last 6 years running. Today, the match isn't reported anywhere in mainstream media. We're still regaled daily with the antics of their male counterparts at the recent World Cup in New Zealand and the subsequent fallout almost daily. The bias in focus is incredible. And Rick says, sports personality of the year, contradiction in terms, methinks. Have you heard any of them speak? Personality, don't make me laugh. And apologies to the Greens. I said no party appears to be supporting the strike. The Greens are. Bye-bye.
That Woman's Hour was presented by Jenny Murray and produced by Laura Northidge. Mel Gyjoich takes a British family back 2,000 years to live in a Danish Iron Age village and experience life as it would have been lived at the time. Mel's Iron Age holiday is after the news.
10 years after enforced land reform in Zimbabwe.
You're saying that white farmers were sitting on a lot of land that they weren't even using.
Correct.
The land is being better utilised now than before.
BBC Radio 4 hears from black and white farmers.
Agriculture is a hugely competitive business, and we all know that volumes of scales come into play. We are so far behind the curve now with this, we're going backwards.
Crossing Continents looks at Zimbabwe's agricultural future.
At the end of 2 to 3 years, I can be a millionaire.
Crossing Continents, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock.